reach the island. My name's Dave, a.k.a. Mark David Chapstick, and this is A Fistful of Podcasts from fistfulofpodcasts.com. Back for another great week. Let me introduce you, as usual, to my co-host all the way from Reno Sparks area. And up first, we have one Mr. Andrew Bergevin.
I would like to take this time to thank the person who invented sidewalks.
Why?
Keeping me off the streets. Oh, I'm sorry. That joke was paper.
Paper?
Terrible.
Oh, God.
I like Andy. That one.
Yeah!
Andy's on a roll.
What if it was... No, I got nothing. Also in the studio there with Andy, we have one Mr. Adam J. Howard Esquire.
Philip C. Sidewalk didn't see fit to bring sidewalks to my neighborhood.
Philip C. Sidewalk.
That's why you're such an urchin.
Yeah, you know where the sidewalk ends? I left past that.
Whoa, was Shel Silverstein there?
No, he stopped at the sidewalk.
Shit, so you, but you could see him like from your porch, right? And you'd wave at him.
Yeah, like, Shell, come over here and write about this stuff.
Fuck no. That, he said. No! He just screamed back. Shell, over here, Shell!
No!
No.
Oh, right okay. Here, come on!
All right, bye, Shell!
Got some nice tea.
I'm going to the Playboy Mansion.
Time to pick up something on that grotto. Like a pile of cum.
Where the sidewalk ends and the grotto begins.
Ooh. That's like the dirtiest spot in the world.
Shel Silverstein's probably the only person who's not only written countless books of children's poetry, but seen Hugh Hefner's penis.
Well, I mean, who hasn't?
I haven't.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at that Venn diagram, like, it barely looks like the circles are even touching.
Yeah, it's just one, like, one's yellow and one's blue, and then they're, like, purple in the middle.
You have to zoom in way, in the center of both of them, or the, yeah. Where they meet.
It's like a micron on the outside. Yeah. That's a different color.
It's one pixel shell. Wide.
In studio, here, of course, we have Trim over there on the couch.
Hello.
There he is.
Hello. Yes.
There he is again. Also, playing the sounds, reminding the soundboard, the ones and twos, as they say in the biz, Krista's over there.
But why?
Because we need sound drops, Krista.
Yeah. Do they say that in the biz?
Yeah, they do. You say, hey, what's this biz? And if they say podcasting, you say, hey, you know what the ones and twos are? They say, yeah, man, get the fuck out of here.
If it wasn't for you, Krista, who would drop our sounds?
And then they tase you with a wind-up taser. It shoots out a taser on a spring and it hits you.
Imagine a jack-in-the-box, but it's an active taser in there.
Is that a million-dollar idea, having a replacing a jack-in-the-box with a taser?
Yeah, no, not only is it non-lethal, it's also non-threatening.
It would be like one of the Joker's weapons for sure, yeah. Though. Like, so imagine walking, like, could you imagine Martha and what's-his-name Wayne walking through that dark alley implausibly at night, and the Joker, you know, comes out and he's like, give me all your money or whatever, I'll shoot your goddamn wife whose name's Martha for some reason, and Bruce Wayne's dad is like, do-do-do-do-do, and he goes, and he runs away.
I'm sure we could come up with more police equipment that we can put the same kind of spin on, like handcuffs that give you an Indian burn.
Yeah, something lighthearted.
Put on this special noogie cap.
Oh, God, I'll tell you anything.
Get the pink belly underwear. Guys, so I gave Stephen King a second chance. I went and I got Salem's Lot off of Audible.
He's hurt you before.
Yeah, well, because it was great. Went to, what did I go to? The crazy one with the disease?
Crazy one with the disease. The Stand.
The Stand, yeah. Did this, couldn't make it all the way through The Stand. Way too boring. Was the unabridged version. So, picked up Salem's Lot, and it is, so far, pretty good. It's as if Bram Stoker, Lovecraft, and Stephen King were all thrown into a blender, and the only part that tastes shitty is the Stephen King stuff. Because, like, it's very atmospheric and very Lovecrafty and that, and, like, it's about vampires, and it's very Bram Stoker, you know, you can see the influence there. But every time Stephen King steps in with his own thing, where he's like, oh, yeah, he grabbed her sweet tit, and he honked her nippy nip.
I was going to say, what did Stephen King add? Some inappropriate sexual congress?
Yeah. His only contribution to this story is, like, people fucking who aren't supposed to be, and people getting called the F-word round the clock. Mm. Like, here's the thing I don't get. Lovecraft
24/7.
Yeah, Lovecraft never zeroed in on gay people as like a great target to make fun of.
They were still a myth back then.
True, they hadn't quite, you know, they hadn't materialized out of the
Read
hearts and minds of men.
Between the lines, David. The fishmen.
I don't think the fishmen were gay.
Did you see any fish women?
They were having sex with the
Yay.
Women of the land.
Yeah, to make more gay fish.
I don't think that's how that works, Andy. I don't think gay people are like sneaking into women's houses at night so like they can spawn more gay children. Plus, I don't think that's how that works. Moral of the story is, it's very, I don't know, it's good, but then when Steven gets into like, okay, so there was this lady, right? And this guy comes in, he starts grabbing all over her tits, right? And then he's like slobbing her knob. He's like, getting into the knob slob.
He's slobbing her knob. It's very weird.
Yeah. One of those ladies.
He gives her his knob, and then he slobs it.
Hold this.
I don't know. I don't like how every character in this book is completely unlikable because they use the F word to describe everybody in town. Like,
really? It's a great guy.
Yeah, like, no, not that F
Wrong
word.
F word.
In the book.
The bundle of sticks.
Yeah, everyone's a bundle of sticks in this small main town.
Oh, that F word, okay.
Yeah, we're not allowed to say that anymore. So, like, it's just like Dracula. Like, this guy comes in with his little familiar. He's buying up all this land. He's sucking people's blood, and everyone's like, hey, did you see that new antique dealer and his friend? I think they're a bundle of sticks, and they're totally blowing each other and licking each other's assholes up in that new house they bought. I'm like, why do you need to have the small townsfolk constantly call everybody gay?
Have you ever been to a small town? It's pretty much that.
I mean, it's Maybe. Gossip. I don't think it's all gay gossip.
Yeah, like all of their gossip is like, because it's about this writer who comes into town and they're like, okay, well, you're a writer. And he, like, his books are kind of salacious. And the only reason they are salacious is because there is gay sex in them. Like, so he comes into town and all the townsfolk are like, oh, that's the guy who wrote that book. And everyone who read it is like, oh, you know, there's a bunch of gay sex in there because it takes place in a prison, apparently.
Chuck Tingle has moved into town.
Yeah, it's Chuck Tingle moving into Stephen King's territory.
Which town is it? I know he writes about like three different towns and that's it.
It's not the same one as it. It's not Derry, Maine. It's another, it's Jerusalem's Lot, Maine.
Okay.
So basically it's like, hey, he was sitting down reading Bram Stoker's Dracula one day and he's like, you know what this is missing? People calling each other homophobic epithets.
But Dracula's like, I could do that.
I'm getting that dick now. Yeah, imagine if like Quincy and, you know, Van Helsing were like being like, oh, look at him up there. He's a queer. This guy's a queer. And he's up in his castle being queer, like sucking dick, but he's also a vampire. But the biggest thing,
you know, he has
guys,
all those wives just for cover.
Count Dracula could not have made Lucy a vampire. He's gay as the day is long.
Totally gay. Yeah, and every character is like a hopeless alcoholic. One guy's a fucking hunchback, for God's sake.
You gotta have a hunchback in a vampire story.
Do you?
Yeah.
I thought that was Frankenstein's story.
The hunches are full of blood.
Brom didn't put one in.
Yeah, read between the lines. Again.
Subtext.
Well, you keep telling me in every book I read, you say read between the lines. I look there and it's just the blank
There's
space.
There's still nothing there. I don't have the sight, Andy.
I've rubbed it with lemon juice. I use disappearing ink dissolvent. And it's all just blank, Andy. I don't know what you're saying.
I'm just ruining my books.
The Imitation Game, yes.
I've ruined so many books. He's like, hey, read between the lines of that first edition Battlefield Earth. So I said, okay.
If
Went back and looked,
so.
Nothing. But some, you know, they have that, it's that old spy trick where you squirt lemon juice on it and hold it over a flame,
yeah.
And it'll,
you set the book on fire.
Spoiler alert, I burned one of my precious Battlefield Earth copies on Adam's, or not Andy's, behest.
Priceless. Fuck. Battlefield Earth copy is something that no one has ever said.
You know how much it's going to cost me to replace that book? Like $30.
Yeah, but burning that one made all the other ones more valuable.
Oh, shit. That's even worse. That means the next one will cost me like $32.
I can't replace it.
Why don't
people just getting more expensive.
Why don't people do that more often? Like, you know how there's that Nintendo World Championships cartridge that's worth like $50,000?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
If I snuck into a bunch of guys' houses and broke their cartridges, value just goes up.
Why don't we just steal their cartridges if they're all worth $50,000?
I'm going to break them and make mine worth $1 million. I don't have one. But
here's an idea. What if you went and burned down everybody's house in town so your house would be the most valuable in the Reno Sparks area?
I think I might get, like, when I got to the second to last house, I think I might get caught for arson. They'd be looking.
The cops are just standing in between the two houses like, it's one of these two guys.
Whichever one burns down, we're going to arrest the other guy. Don't burn Adam's house down. Leave
we'll just
him.
Just wait and make our move.
That's when I burned my own house down to trick him.
But then that means Adam will be rich.
Yeah, and I'll sell my money and skip town.
Sell your money.
Sell my money, yes.
I'm going to sell all the money I made on this house deal. Oh, man. So, yeah, that's going so far so good on that one. I wish it had less, you know, hatred towards the gays, but whatever. It's okay. And it's not what I hoped either. It's not a big twist on the old vampire thing. It's pretty much the guy's just a vampire.
I'm telling you, David, anytime you pass through a small town, David, you just drive through a town and like, look at that new guy. Probably gay.
I bet he's sucking a dick right now behind the wheel.
I bet you that man's super, super gay.
Look at him pulling into the Burger King parking lot. Probably going to suck a dick.
Hope he likes me.
I got a wiper for him. Wait.
I don't know, man. But everything else is good. So that's a highlight so far of the week. But here's another thing that happened. At work, we have, you know, our monthly meeting where we go over what's going in, what's going out, all the money and stuff. And like a month ago, the owner made us start using this new software. She's like, okay, this is what we're going to do for this. She knew all about it. She's like, I went and researched it, blah, blah, blah. She was like in the know. Flash forward to the meeting we had 2 days ago, and she's like, okay, so what is this thing you guys are using?
what are we doing here?
It's called Bill Flash. She goes, what is this Bill Flash thing? And I was like, what?
You told us about it.
Are you having a stroke? I learned it from watching you, Dad, I told her.
Did my evil twin show up and sell you guys on some software?
Yeah, that would be like if Andy went to work one day when he was still a janitor.
When he was still working.
Yeah, and Monica was like, hey, man, let's go mop that floor. And you like stared at the mop in the bucket and you're like, what are these?
What's a mop?
You say you fill this bucket with water?
Ghosts.
I'm going to mop the floor with a ghost.
It's ectoplasmic.
Yeah, so that was infuriating, having someone who taught us how to use it a month later be like, so what are we doing here? What is this stuff?
What would you say you guys do here?
What is this money?
What would you say you do here?
Well, yeah, David, that's frustrating, but at least you didn't have a gigantic woman munching nachos while she did that.
Could have been worse.
Yeah. That's the thing. Most of my time is spent just like plugging my ears because of all the crying children who come in. And the thing is, the amount of it always sounds like a torture chamber at my work. It's nothing but kids screaming and crying. And, you know, you look it up and I see what these kids are checked in for. One kid has like too much earwax in his ears and he's going insane like they're waterboarding him in the fucking next room.
You should bring a black hood to wear to work.
Yeah, I'm going to come show up shirtless with a black hood and a big axe.
Well, there's nothing we can do for you, son.
Back to the grind.
You're going to die.
You're going to die. Yeah, the amount of screaming to the amount of like diagnoses that warrant it is like so lopsided. And I'll go out and there'll be one kid in the waiting room. He'll be sitting there, swinging his feet. And then as soon as he's ushered back, it's like someone pulls a gun on him and is like, kiss your mom goodbye. And then they hold the gun on him for 40 minutes while he screams and cries for his life. And then after that's done, they're like, okay, you can go. And the kid's like, huh?
Well, you're cured.
It's so it's so annoying. The sound of children crying is the worst sound in the world. That's what is like the stereo in hell is like children crying greatest hits.
David, was my every day up until 3 weeks ago.
Because we only see, you know, maybe 20 kids a day. I can't imagine a full school of screaming children.
Well, David, I don't know what it is with children that they just say, every once in a while, a kid will just say, you know what's fucking great?
Crying?
Screaming.
Oh, yeah.
Let's just all do it.
You gotta work those chords, Andy.
Oh, yeah. You gotta work them by screaming at a pitch that makes my penis shrivel up and go into my body.
Are they screaming at your crotch?
They're about that
size.
Just like
point blank.
It's all these kids trying to make Andy's penis shatter like a wine glass.
I'm trying to find the resonant frequency.
So immediately I'm like, children screaming, and my penis is like, we're never having kids, right?
I would much rather imagine like a group of four or five kids like all rubbing their hands together in a tight huddle being like, today's the day we shatter the janitor's penis by screaming at it. All right, Chad.
Split that thing open like a microwaved hot dog.
Yeah, he says, Chad, you haven't hit puberty yet. You're first. And he goes, ah! Screams.
Just comes at him like Bobcat Goldthwait.
Oh, no, and his penis broke.
Oh, it done happened again.
Then you got to kick all the pieces out of your overalls and sweep them into
a pile.
My
trick penis.
There's a penis for you. That's what he says after it falls on the ground.
David, at least you have a job. I put in all sorts of applications, and the only people that got back to me were a temp agency.
Well, they'll take you no matter what.
Well, yeah, that's the they're basically the lady was like, okay, do you have a resume? I was like, I can type one up right now. She's like, okay, I'm going to send you all the paperwork as though we'd already hired you. So go ahead and fill all that out. Send me your resume, and then we'll interview you on Monday. I was like, okay,
you're hired.
And while I'm filling out the paperwork, I'm like, I'm hoping this is not a scam because I'm giving her my bank account number.
You're giving your bank
security number.
One of the questions like that you have to tick off is like, do I think this is a scam? Yes or no? And you're like,
maybe.
How gullible do I think I am?
Like, do you want direct deposit? I was like, sure. Tickety tickety tick. Enter. Oh, wait.
Do you have something called a social security number? And can we have that?
What's your PIN number?
What was your mother's maiden name?
Credit cards. Can you put our name on yours?
Do you remember your first? Let's just have some small talk. Do you remember your first pet? What was it?
The first street you lived
name
on.
What's that?
What was his name?
Yeah, what was the city were you born in?
You know,
for a background check, make and model of your first car.
I would love for someone just to be small chatting you and stealing all your information.
What was your best friend's name?
Have you ever lived anywhere else? What was that address? What was it like?
The first name of your first boss, just so we can check on it.
And your favorite food?
Yeah.
Pizza. Oh.
Your mother and father had different names before they were married, right? I mean, who didn't? What was hers?
Specifically hers.
Yeah. I mean, we can pretty much discern what your father's was, I bet.
Oh, I bet.
I don't know. Getting a job is fucking tough, man. Like,
well, and it sucks because all the places I'd want to work are like, I applied for Costco because they pay well and they have good benefits. But they're like, yeah, you really need like 5 years of warehouse experience to work at our Costco.
I've applied at Costco a few times.
Would you get warehouse experience? They closed down years ago.
Well, he was at.
I was just about to make that.
Nailed
joke.
It. Ta-dum, ta-dum. Could you ask them?
Can we make a Walden Soft?
What about an electronics boutique?
Yeah, could you ask them if FYE experience would work just as good?
Are there no FYEs anymore?
At least here, they're all gone, man.
Yeah, and we used to have the biggest Sam Goody in the world.
We used to have a Suncoast.
We had a Sam Goody in the world.
You had one?
Yeah, wasn't very big.
Tower Records.
But yeah, but that's the thing. Like, you can't. Especially now, and Best Buy is starting to feel this too, is like you can't, when the internet exists, you can't rip people off in a brick and mortar store.
Well, not so much Best Buy, but Barnes & Noble. I don't know how they stay in business because they charge a shitload for everything.
Yeah, well, like the hipster I was, I went in and Alex was looking at books. I was like, I'm going to go look at their records. I'm not paying $35 for Beastie Boys Hello Nasty.
Goodbye, Nasty, I said.
This happened today and I almost bought it for you. It was a little tiny 78 that came with a 24-page booklet about Star Wars, and you would put the record on and then read the book along with it.
Ooh.
Almost got that for you, but I thought, nah, your mailman will probably break it into four pieces and chuck it at your front door.
Flings it at your door like a frisbee.
He'll throw the open package at my door as he's picking his teeth with the broken record.
he like pulls up, he like slows in front of your house, he goes, mail! And you hear this, at your door.
This is a different mailman, but way back in the day, probably like 10 years ago, there was a time when I went out of town to go to Japan and I didn't call off my mail and I was gone for 2 weeks. The mailman stuffed so much stuff in there, and then I can assume because that was stuffed full, then he just started dropping it on my doorstep with notes that were like, empty your mailbox.
What? See, like, my parents are bad about grabbing the mail, and occasionally it'll get too full. And then they take everything out and just bring it to the post office.
Yeah,
because... No, like, I just started... I came home, I was like, there's a pile of letters on my doorstep.
But, see, like, the last time that happened, though, they took everything out and brought it to the post office, but they also took the note that says, we are keeping your mail at the post office now.
They'll want this. I'll keep it.
I'll keep it safe at the post office.
Yeah. At my work, we got one of those big, and I'm sure they come in apartment complex, those big, like, big aluminum silver boxes that have, like, a million different holes in them.
Yeah.
Someone came by, broke off every single lock.
What?
What?
Every lock,
just to prove they could,
was snapped off, and so all of the doors were just hanging open. So I'm like, well, what the fuck, man? So finally, when the maintenance guy fixed all the locks, I put the mail in there, and they still weren't delivering the mail. So I left a note in there, and I said, hey, man, thing's fixed. Please deliver the mail. And he wrote back on the back of my note, and he's like, no.
What?
No, fuck off.
Why?
I don't know. I was like, can we have our mail, please? He's like, nope.
Did
the lock isn't
back?
Fixed. And I'm like, I had to unlock this box to get in here. What do you mean?
I know for a fact.
I was about to start a feud with the mailman. I'm like, no, I'll be the bigger person.
I should start a feud with my mail. Like, I know that on the mail, I don't know why they do this, but sometimes they'll send me my packages and they'll actually deliver it on Sunday. Mm-hmm. And whenever this happens, the mailman goes pretty much across the lawn and goes, huh, and hucks it. I had a DVD delivered like that last Sunday.
You should get one of those cameras you put on the front door so you can see your mailman like do a hacky sack routine with all your mail and then kick it towards your front
do an Ace Ventura up to your doorstep.
Yeah.
He never does it with stuff like, oh, look, you ordered these pillows. I'll put these nicely down here. Oh, a record? Fah!
Then he's like, we're going downtown. And he grabs it with his feet and he kicks it.
And I mean, you don't know this, but your mailman used to be the paperboy from the NES game.
Yeah. Oh, really?
He's constantly aiming for your windows to get you to subscribe to a paper. But he's like a terrible shot, so it's not working.
Okay, and that never made sense to me in Paperboy. Where it's like, hey, to get these people to subscribe to you, break their fucking windows.
You send them a message.
You gotta send a message. If you don't break their window, you have to at least knock over the headstones they have in their front yard.
Yeah. Here's the good news.
Yeah.
Like, watch out, that guy with the lawnmower is really angry.
Nice family plot you got for your great grandparents. You throw newspapers at him and knock him over and be like, fuck your dead relatives. And you do a wheelie.
You probably
down.
Want to see this obituary.
You're next. And then you speed off.
He lovingly writes that on every newspaper he delivers.
You're next.
Signed the paper boy.
As if there was any confusion.
This was from the paper boy. Signed the paper boy.
Maybe in those papers there were bricks. That's the only way he could get so much like
he
heft.
Just had a hell of an arm.
Oh, no, it's one of those old Sunday editions.
Well, you weren't delivering. It wasn't Sunday every day in Paperboy Town.
Every day is Sunday. Let's every go to church again.
Every day is a day of rest.
Yeah, every day in Paperboy Town, there's only one street, and the amount of news that one street produces is incredible, because they get a daily paper.
It's one street that ends in a bitchin' BMX course with jumps and hoops.
Yeah. So what are the articles about? That hoop and the jumps?
Yeah.
Paperboy busts a sick move.
Yeah, I can just see it like
Paperboy's writing the paper.
Yeah, I can see a dad coming down, you know, getting ready for work, and he sits at the counter and opens the paper. He's like drinking coffee, and the front page is like, Paperboy, sick as shit at BMX tricks or whatever.
Well, according to the game itself, when you start off, the front page news is Paperboy hired.
Yeah.
He must be writing this.
It's a town that's so wrapped up in its own newspaper, it's the only thing that makes the news.
Yeah, there was one time a guy drove through there and they're like, I bet he's gay.
Yeah, he's the only honest news source in town.
Look at that queer. They thought the paperboy was gay until he got hired. Yeah. They're like, he's either gay or a vampire.
Well, they wouldn't have hired a gay man.
When he started knocking over their tombstones, they were like, he's a gay.
Vampires respect the dead.
Yeah, vampires wouldn't desecrate a grave site in our front yard.
You monster.
And it was also a place where death lived. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
And he'd come out pointing at you.
Yeah. Now, okay. So in this town,
because you die always in that game.
In this town, that's one street. You've got death. You've got several monsters living in the sewer.
Yeah.
You got babies who run out in the middle of the road, and that jogger.
Okay. So, David, you've just described several different Stephen King books. Monsters in the
sewer.
That's
what I'm thinking.
Yeah. A kid that runs out in the middle of the road.
Oh my God.
I've been thinking this for a while now that you've broached it and I didn't actually bring it up. I'm gonna lay my theory out in the line here. I think that every Stephen King book is based off of the NES game Paperboy.
Yeah, he's constantly like studying it and pulling new ideas from this one game.
Yeah, he's like, he's just looking at a screenshot of like a paper frozen in midair.
Martha,
like,
I was reviewing the tomes. There's something new.
He's like, what if someone did have a cemetery in their front yard and it was for pets? And he's like, scribble, scribble, scribble.
Pet cemetery.
And the kid runs out in the street. Got it.
Let's see. That's the first sentence. Excuse me. I'm Stephen King. Don't bother me. First sentence.
Don't bother me.
In the small town of such and such, Maine, everyone was a queer. Awesome first sentence, Stephen. You're nailing it.
For some odd reason, I didn't expect that. It made me choke on my spit.
Here. Okay, now, okay. I'm going to prove to everyone that I can write as someone else. So I'm Richard Bachman now. I think I'm going to write The Running Man. Okay.
See how versatile he is.
Let's see. First sentence. The Running Man, it's a game show that only employed the gays.
Did he write The Running Man?
Yeah, as Richard Bachman.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I barely found that out a while ago, and it's bizarre because you don't realize how many Stephen King books made it, and then short stories made it into movies, at least in name.
Yeah.
Because, like, The Lawnmower Man, that is a Stephen King short story, but has nothing to do with the movie.
Yeah. The Mist.
The Mist.
The Langoliers.
The Langoliers. Maximum Overdrive.
Oh, they're making probably The Mist into a series. I'm really looking forward to that.
But after you know what's in The Mist, isn't there, like...
It seems like they're doing it a little differently this time.
Oh, what if The Mist brought a new type of monster every time?
Oh, Bigfoot!
You just imagine, like, sitting in one of those old-timey 50s diners, and you're an old guy eating a slice of pie, and the mist rolls in, and you just see a bunch of insect creatures run by the window, and you're like, not again.
Boring.
And then, like, the next week, he, like, looks out, and there's, like, Bigfoot, and he's wearing, like, a top hat and a monocle, and he's like, what the hell is going on with this mist?
What has science wrought?
Damn it, Steven, he says.
But, David, speaking of stories that sometimes don't make any sense,
sure.
We were playing through the Tekken 7 story today.
Mm-hmm.
I must have missed something in the last five.
It seems like there's a story, but I couldn't tell you what it is.
So, two guys had different corporations, and they somehow started a war, and everybody was, you know, pretty cool with that. But they started a war to make the devil come out from underground so they could beat him up. But it turns out one of the guys is actually the devil.
Well, he's like part devil.
So, have they added voice acting? I haven't played Tekken in such a long time.
Well, I thought it was interesting because... Everybody speaks the languages where they're from, but everybody seems to speak every language.
Yeah, like everybody speaks their native language, but to the other people that don't speak the native language.
So it's the Star Wars paradox where Chewie and Han can understand each other, but they don't speak each other's languages.
Yeah.
So, like, you have the head of the corporation is, like, Japanese or Chinese or something, and all of his minions are American.
So they're all shouting at him in English, and he's like, oh!
Hello?
You will run this corporation, they say.
I guess that's better than like Tekken 1 because Scott and I, my brother, we would play that all the time. And the only backstory you would ever get was after you beat everyone and you'd see a short cutscene and be like, oh, I guess like, okay. So the one that sticks out in my head was King, the guy in the leopard mask.
The Jaguar mask.
Yeah. Jaguar. So he's like kicking ass. And then at the end, like he's standing outside this building, all these kids run around. They're like, yay. And you're like, okay, I guess he was into saving orphanages.
Well, that's how like, most fighting games and like Twisted Metal and stuff used to be, where you wouldn't get like any story until the very end.
But Twisted Metal did you the solid of being like pretty heavy on exposition at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because like Calypso would be like, hey, man, you won. You get a wish. What do you want? But in Tekken, it was no spoken dialogue. And it was like, oh, like the character you just played and beat the game with, he would turn around. There'd be the thing he want. And be like, yes.
Well, and yeah, I did it.
The end that sticks out the most to me is from Tekken 3 when the bear wins the tournament and then he goes on an amusement park ride.
Wasn't there one where the bear wins and he just goes to school?
There's one where the bear wins and he becomes an astronaut. So
I remember the one where like when the panda wins, it hangs out with what's her face and goes to school.
But I something like that.
Yeah. I could have sworn that when the grizzly bear won, he fucks the panda.
Could be.
And this may be completely made up, but I'm seeing it clear as day. Like the grizzly bear like knocks on a door. You see him and he straightens his bow tie and he's holding a bottle of champagne and some balloons. And the door opens, and it's the panda bear, and so he whips out his dick, and he starts jacking it on her thigh.
You lost me there.
No, I think he's onto something.
No, I remember the one where the bear shows up with like a bunch of flowers to the panda, and the panda just ignores it.
Yeah, the panda walks by, but that's the thing. If you play it and get the second secret ending, he shows up at the house, and like things get a little intense.
Okay.
Things get a little rough.
Stuff.
Yeah, like you see as he like forces his way into the panda's house, he's got a picture, not a picture, but a copy. Yeah, because the panda's living in the house, so he knocks on the door, and he, like, forces his way in. The panda's like, no, and you see in the bear's back pocket, the grizzly bear, he's got a copy of Bill Cosby's book.
Oh, God.
Ah. Cosbyology.
He makes her some poison tea.
Poison?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know.
Drugs are basically poison for your mind.
Roofie tea.
Sure.
So he's like, he, you know, forces it on her, and he's like, yeah, that's how we do it in Japan. And I'm like, this is bizarre.
This is dark.
Why did Tekken get so dark all of a sudden?
Wow.
And this is way before Cosby was even implicated in any of that. So I was like, why did they let him use that cover?
And then in the next game, there's a terrible hybrid between Grizzly and Panda.
I don't know how terrible it could be because they're still pretty much bears, right?
I know Growler bears are supposed to be pretty terrible.
Growler?
Yeah, polar bears.
Oh. I thought it was Dave Grohl who had sex with a bear.
That is also a possibility.
I was the drummer in Nirvana.
It's the
That's all Bear needs to hear.
Yeah, it's the best drumming bear you've ever seen.
Yeah.
That would be pretty awesome.
He's better than Geddy Lee.
And some people think that he witnessed Kurt Cobain kill himself.
What do you say, Nirvana in bear language?
It's some sort of growl.
Sure.
But guys,
racist.
You know, life is getting pretty boring as I get older. Mm. So what did I decide to do? Go on down to the community college, maybe start not taking a class, but teaching one.
Mm. Yeah, David's a teacher now.
What?
Yeah. So, well, it's not accredited because I'm not a professor.
Community colleges have really low standards.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like anyone, like Trung has graduated from two or three. So they'll let anyone just waltz through their doors.
Like, all you need to do is like just be a squatter. You just need to squat in one of the classrooms and act like you own the place.
That's actually how I got in. I claimed squatter's rights over this guy's classroom, and he came in and he was like, "Hey, man!" And I'm like, "Up, oh, gotcha."
Sorry,
like,
I teach you now.
I pointed into the corner and he saw my camping stove and tent, and I was like, "I'm the teacher now."
You gotta wait till I leave, and buddy, I'm here for a while.
Yeah, see ya, sucker. So now I wear a red blazer, and I well because. The way I did it was I went into the dean's office, threw my penny loafer up on the desk, and I was like, "Hey, man, let's rap." And I was wearing my red blazer.
Turn his cap around backwards. And
yeah.
Just one shoe, though?
I come in there, throw one foot up on the desk, and I'm like, "Hey, man." And I'm like, you know, doing this sort of move like it's a – how do you describe this? I'm like, "Hey, man, let's rap."
David's fronting on this man.
Oh, yeah, I was fronting. I fronted to him. And he's like, "Hey, man, how'd you get in my office?" And I said, "Let's not worry about that. Let's talk about this class that I've got."
Security.
So now I'm teaching people how to live.
Oh, that's just the class Living 101?
Yeah, like, you know, I tell the truth. I tell people how it is. My students come in and they, you know, it's pretty much just an hour-long Q&A session three times a week where I answer questions about life or, you know, different types of jobs you can get. Or, just, you know, sometimes we just talk about comic books.
Give me an example of some of your wisdom.
You got to ask him a question.
You have to give me a question. So let's say you guys are my class. I should have worn my red blazer, but I forgot it.
You should have a jacket of nothing but tweed.
it's the tweediest jacket you've ever seen.
A tweeding bird.
So I, you know, and I always, I'll do that thing where I'll lean back on the desk and cross my arms and be like, "Hey kids, let's rap. What do you got for me today?"
And one of those times you should try turning your chair around and like sitting with your legs around the back end of it.
I only do that when a kid is struggling with either gang violence or drug addiction.
So that they know that you're like them.
Yeah. Like some kid will raise his hand and be like, "Hey, is cocaine really that bad?" And I'll grab my chair and I'll pull it right up to his desk, turn it around, squat in there Michelle Pfeiffer style and be like, "Yo man, crack is whack, yeah, and cocaine is part of crack, so don't do either." And then I'll put my chair back and I'll be like, "Anyone else?"
"Anyone else with crack related questions?"
"Dr. Professor Lindblad, what about meth?"
I say, "You know what? It's pretty rough, but TV makes it look pretty appealing."
Makes it a pretty attractive drug.
Yeah, because I told him, I was like, "You know, if Malcolm in the Middle's dad is doing it, I can't make an a fair..."
I can't 100% say that it's bad.
Yeah, I can't say it's bad, I can't say it's good, because there was a whole TV show about it. It's hard. Meth is a touchy one that I try to just sort of steer around.
Advice is just watch television, do what they do.
Meth is a gray area.
I say, on TV, people do it all the time, and there are no ill repercussions, so I say, do it.
Oh, God.
I say, only the blue stuff, though.
"Dr. Professor Lindblad, I got my girlfriend pregnant, what should I do?"
Why are you doing that?
No,
knock
that's
it
not
off,
advice.
I tell
him. I've already done it, tell me what to do now.
I say, "Okay, how old is this lady you knocked up?"
14.
Oh, God.
Okay. So you knocked up a 14-year-old. Since we're in Apache Junction, my next follow-up question is, are you blood related?
No.
Good. So we've got at least one complication off our plate. I say, "Hey, man, take her out for an Egg McMuffin and, you know, drown her in a, jacuzzi.
God.
David's other advice is act like Chris Benoit.
Yeah, I say, "Hey, remember that wrestler Benoit and how he killed his family?"
Oh, no.
"Nothing, not for nothing, but he doesn't have any problems now, does he?"
God, stop. Krista, you have to stop this class.
She'll be like, the student will be like, "Oh, you know, Benoit's dead too." And I'm like, "Yeah, makes you think, doesn't it?"
God.
So, you know, So far, it's going pretty good. I've got about 13 students
left.
Yeah, I mean, you started with 16, and since I'm not really a teacher or a professor, there's no student-teacher confidentiality. So if someone is like, "Hey, man, I've got an idea where," and like, let's say they come up with an idea completely on their own that somewhat infringes upon my one of my million-dollar ideas, and it seems like they're gaining steam and gaining headway, what I'll do is I'll plant drugs in their backpack and call the cops and be like, yeah, get them out of here.
David never took the teacher's Hippocratic Oath.
Yeah. This one guy, he's like, oh, I've got an idea, teach. And I said, "Hit, lay it on me, man.
Daddy-o.
Daddy-o," I said.
Yeah, cool.
And he goes, I think I've got an idea for this keychain fob where, like, if you're in the bathroom, it makes a tiger growl so it keeps people away from you while you're shitting. And I said, oh, very interesting. And so I was like, give me a second. And I stepped out of the room and I grabbed some Coke from one of the other troubled students. And I was like, recess. And they all ran.
Advance on my Coke.
They said, yeah, well, they said, Mr. Lindblad, this is college. There is no recess.
Well, yeah, they did say that. And I was like, don't worry about it. There's a playground over in the daycare center because I know a lot of you are unwed teenage mothers and fathers. You know, go see your kids for 10 or 15. I'm going to chill here and think of some more, you know, paradigms I can shift outside the box. So when they leave, I dust everything in their backpack with Coke, and then I put a little bit in the smallest pocket. So, you know, and then when, by the time they get back to class, the cops are already there and I'm pointing at the bag and I say, you know what? Sorry, man. See you in 4 years.
Yeah, but David forgot which bag was his. So he put a little cocaine in everyone's bag.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard because there's so many JanSports out there. How am I supposed to keep them separate? I say, oh, shit, everyone has a green JanSport. Fuck. So I get like one of those like little insect pump dusters. They go spray all of them down with Coke dust. And I say, yeah, man, I don't know. Bad lot. And I say, get them all out of here sometime.
Start over.
Also, your tuition is non-refundable.
Well, it's only $45 for the class. So it's not like a big deal. But still, I get like 30% of that.
Only 30%?
Yeah, which is like what, Trum? What's 30% of 45?
I don't know.
Dozens of dollars.
15, 14. Yeah.
14 or 15 times what? I had 16 students, so that's, I mean, I'm rich right now.
Basically rich.
Basically, David's basically.
Especially if you're like, you're cycling out the whole class before the semester's over and getting a new class.
Oh, hell yeah. Like, if I'm like, uh-oh, another Coke problem, another Coke epidemic in the How to Live class.
Sorry, cops, we had another outbreak of drugs.
Yeah, I say, guys, can't you get a handle on these coke fiends that are running around this community college?
This is a real epidemic.
Oh, you guys want to hear my professor voice so that people take me seriously? Okay, so I say,
hello, students.
Wow.
Welcome to the How to Live Laugh class.
Ugh.
I also wear blackface, which some people is offensive.
I thought you were Alan Rickman. Hello, students.
You started off as Alan Rickman and then turned to a black lady.
Yeah, because I was like, you know what? I think my character is like, what's her name, from The Clumps?
The character is constantly evolving.
And I don't do the entire face black. I just have two big brown splotches on my cheeks.
So they get the gist.
It's a skin condition.
I say, hello, class, I've got vitiligo.
And they say, oh, okay. And I say, I'm outrageous, stuff like that. And I fart.
Okay. Yeah. That's pretty passable, I guess.
I'm pretty much every black woman I've ever seen in pop culture.
You are every
woman. I'm outrageous! That's my text alert.
one of my students just got caught with heroin. Wink!
And episode.
Yeah. Sometimes I switch characters. Sometimes I'll be the mom from Family Matters, or sometimes I'll be like
the grandma from Family Matters.
Yeah, sometimes I'm grandma from Family Matters. Sometimes I'm the aunt from Family Matters. I realize a lot of my inspiration comes from Family Matters. Sometimes I'm Laura.
It's a rich vein to draw from.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many great characters. Sometimes I'll be the dad from Family Matters. Family Members. And I'll say, what was this shit? This joke is not going to work because I don't know Bruce Willis's name in Die Hard.
John McClane.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes I'll walk in a cop uniform and I'll have a walkie-talkie, and every once in a while I'll talk into it and be like, John McClane.
I shot a kid.
It's me. I shot
Reginald
a kid.
Bill Johnson.
Yeah, I say, then I'll put my walkie back on the thing, and I'm like, hey, kids, let's rap again. Yeah, and sometimes they take it literally. We'll do an hour of freestyle.
Wow.
You know, they can't stop me. No accreditation, so what are they going to do?
No dean can stop me.
Yeah, I say, hey, dean, I'm squatting here.
What can you do about it?
This is a guy named Dean, though. David didn't actually meet the dean.
Yeah, it was, well,
it's one of his students.
I walked in, it said dean on the door, but it was like Dean Gregory, and above it said janitor.
Yeah.
And I was like, hey, dean, I'm going to teach a class here. And I put my foot in his mop bucket, which I thought was his desk.
Take that, head custodian.
Yeah, I was like, I'm teaching a class here. So now I see him more often than not because of my chemical toilet I have to keep in my squatter's corner. And essentially, it's just a 5-gallon bucket. And I sneak into job sites at night and I scoop out some of that blue stuff they keep in the porta-johns.
It's like a little bucket on a rope.
Yeah, and it keeps all the turds under the liquid so you can't smell them for the most part.
Sure.
Yeah. A lot of flies in the class, though.
Strange. So,
what's new with you guys? Anything happening?
Everything pales in comparison to your story.
I already told you everything that happened to me. Oh, David made fun of me for buying records.
No, I didn't make fun of you. It's just, I can't remember what I said.
Look at this asshole. And I was like, hey.
I don't think I said asshole. I said you're on your way to being like a classic metal connoisseur.
Read between the lines you wrote, David.
Oh, shit. I forgot there was so much space. I was like, I'll just fill in this.
I was like, hey, nice records. And David's like, hey, nice records. And he sent me a gif of him doing a jack-off motion.
Yeah. I was fucking a glazed donut. And I'm like, nice records.
But we went to downtown. We were downtown in Reno because we wanted to go to the cheese shop, which has gone out of business.
Oh, really?
Oh, how could a cheese shop go out of business, Andy?
Well, here's the weird thing is that all these nice shops are going in downtown, so they're raising the rent and forcing all the nice shops out.
So what businesses are moving in that are forcing the
things
other ones
like
out?
Things like the cheese shop, other little, like, small hipster-type things.
But I think hipster, like a cheese shop is hipster, like, grade-A material.
Yeah, we went there all the time.
Yeah, it's places like that that is drawing them in.
They've been downgraded now to a cheese truck.
Really?
Oh,
they
no!
Still have a thing?
And I don't buy cheese from a truck.
Yeah, just food.
Yeah, you can
and
buy
speakers.
This cheese cheap because it fell off the back of a truck.
Yeah, hey, I was going through Wisconsin last week and this happened to fall off a truck.
Yeah, I walked up to the truck and said, hey, is this a cheese truck? They said, yeah, we also have some speakers.
Yeah. I said, well, I got speakers. I got 40 keys of Wisconsin cheddar back here if you want to, you know, first bump is free.
Wink.
They give you like a little cheese cube on a toothpick.
I just need a rock of that goat cheese.
First one's free, man.
But David, so we went to the record store instead, and the guy had just gotten a man's entire metal album collection. 900 records.
Did he die?
Yeah.
Oh, so you've got haunted records.
I do. I have a haunted Black Sabbath record.
If you play them backwards, can you hear his voice?
You could do that anyway.
He recorded himself over the devil that plays backwards.
We'll just get rid of these incantations on the reverse.
Weirdly enough, it was Reginald Bell Johnson. He said, John!
I shot a kid!
I shot a kid, John! I'm down here on the ground floor! I think
it'll be John.
That wouldn't be
but
a bad idea.
Every time
idea.
I go in and I buy like a metal album because I like I think I'll get Iron Maiden. They're all like, oh, really into this, huh? Let me tell you all the stuff I know. I'm like, yeah. I know things.
That's the thing, Andy. Like that classic metal has one of the most ravenous and annoying fan bases in the world. And I don't want to see you go down that path.
we just care about you, Andy.
Well, David, I could have bought the $60 Weezer record. Would that have been better?
Well, which album?
Green Album.
No, that would not have been better. If you can get
Maladroit, would that have been better if it was Maladroit?
Still no. If you can get like Guava from Ween on vinyl, then we're talking.
Oh, some sweet Ween, huh?
Yeah. If there's one thing I love in this world, it's Ween.
There is
one thing, and that thing is Ween.
Sorry to tell you like this, Trung and Krista.
Yeah, sorry guys. But if like, so let's say in some sort of weird, like you guys get kidnapped, right? And you guys are hanging in a cage over some spikes, and then there's like a copy of Guava from Ween in the other cage, and it's got a really sweet copy of, or like a really great recording of Voodoo Lady. And the guy's
and it's
like,
all signed?
Yeah, and it's signed. He's like, Gene and Dean Ween signed this.
The Weens.
I said, I got two Weens on this. I would say, I guess.
Sorry, guys. My hands are tied. Yeah.
You guys are great and everything, but that's a one-of-a-kind album.
They would say, they would say goodbye, family, and Halloween.
Yep, I'd say Halloween. Because I
hello.
The part of the story I left out was I got hit on the head with a pipe wrench before all this started.
That's why David's making these very poor decisions.
Yeah, he had a very big lump on his head because a bowling ball dropped on it.
Yeah, I had a big goose egg on my forehead, and I was like, duh, album! And then he handed me a bunny rabbit, and I accidentally squished it.
Well, and when you go to these record stores, there's all the used records, and then the guy has all these reissues. So when I'm buying the Black Sabbath, he's like, hey, I got this on a reissue. And I look at the used record, which is perfectly fine condition, $8. The reissue, $25. I was like, I think I'll just take this one.
What is a reissue and why is it so expensive?
I imagine
it's newer.
And they probably remastered it because once they have, they probably changed it from the old like master tapes over to a digital copy and then like remixed the album, if I had to guess.
If David had any gumption.
If I had gumption, I would open up Forest Gumption.
What do you sell?
And immediately get sued.
No, it's a town. The town of Forest Gumption. It's like Petticoat Junction, and it's right next to Conjunction Junction. I say, if you see Conjunction Junction, you got too far. Stop at Forest Gumption. And we don't sell shrimp either. We sell soft shell crab.
Soft shell crab.
Soft shell. And we all have to do
crab.
We all have to do a Sean Connery impression.
It's the law.
Yeah, it's part of the charter. So sorry, guys.
Welcome to Forest Gumption.
Welcome to Forest Gumption. You can slap a lady here.
Laws are very loose on domestic abuse.
I like that rhyme.
We like vinyl records and slapping women in the face.
All of our laws rhyme, so they're easy to remember. They also don't allow showings of Lord of the Rings.
But they're at the local cinema, they play three movies. They play Thunderball, Zardoz, and League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
And one screen is just a repeat of Sean Connery going, "You're the man now, dog."
There's like it's like the Hollywood Walk of Fame, and there's like one of the buildings, I think it's the hardware store, there's a big mural of Sean Connery, you know, without the wig, it's classic bald Connery, and his hand is like back and he's like slapping a woman and there's spit flying out of her mouth. And it says, Welcome to Forest Gumption. We forgot to name our town after Sean Connery.
Welcome to Forest Gumption. This town got away from us.
Yeah. But, you know, that's the thing. You farm out things to, like, the public, and you're like, hey, everybody gets a vote. Then it's Forest Gumption, but
yeah,
our
that's
town...
That's the problem with open-source towns.
Our town mascots, what you call it, Sean Connery. I was hoping for Roger Moore.
Okay, is it time to start our Craigslist?
Well, I was thinking earlier, and I have a question for you guys.
Shit.
So, two-part question. Mm-hmm. So let's say in this alternate dimension, you have to pick one of these two things. Would you rather piss on your feet to keep them clean like a vulture, or you can only drink Monster Energy drink?
Do I get to choose different types of Monster Energy drink?
You get the classic green. You can choose different sizes, but it has to be original.
Will the diet of nothing but Monster Energy drinks kill me?
Well, you can eat other food, but yes, it will kill you.
So I'm going to have to go with peeing on my feet then.
Ah, that's too bad.
Do I have to walk around like a vulture?
No, but you can't wear shoes, so I guess
do I have
kind
bird
of.
Bird legs.
Yeah, you do have bird legs.
Oh, does he have bird bones?
No bird bones, because you can't fly. It's just like from the waist down, it's like big
that's
like
pretty cool.
Drumsticks. But you have human feet, bird legs.
What?
Human feet.
Is it hard for me to pee on my feet?
Not really, because the cloaca is like right there. It just empties right out onto you. Yeah, it empties right out onto your toes. Like from pelvis to ankle, it's bird.
It's all bird from pelvis to ankle.
Any questions, Trum?
No.
No.
Probably go.
No
with...
answer yet.
Okay.
These Monster Energy drinks, like, can I mix other things with them, or is it just straight Monster?
Oh, of course. You can mix whatever you want in there.
Oh.
So what if I dilute it, like, a whole bunch with just water so I can live?
The stipulation is you can only dilute it to 50% power. So, like, let's say you have a 16-hour energy drink. You can only...
That's not bad.
You can only add 16 ounces of other liquid to it. So it has to be a one-to-one ratio.
Do I have to live the extreme lifestyle that Monster promotes?
You don't have to live the lifestyle, but you do have a snowboard clamped onto your feet 24/7.
So I walk like an army man?
Yes, kind of.
Okay. Do I have to be one of the douchebags that is so wrapped up in his energy drink that I put the sticker on the back of my car?
No, you don't have to live the lifestyle. You're just essentially what's happening here is you're paid $14 million a year to drink exclusively Monster Energy.
You didn't say that.
Drink. Well, you didn't ask.
Am I paid anything in the pee feet?
I mean, you got a regular job. You work at a it's kind of like a textile factory. You're the guy who adds the collars to polo shirts.
Oh, fun.
I mean, it's not, but you're making like $42,000 a year, so it's not bad.
Is that with benefits?
Yeah, you get health and dental, okay, vision's extra.
And the other one is just a one-time payment?
No.
No, it's $14 million a year.
$14 million a year to drink the energy drink, and it's $42 a year for the textiles.
Is there a contract you have to sign for the $14 million a year? Like, do you have to use the money that you get to buy monsters, or do you get
no,
the
they monster supplies it all. You can spend the money however you want, but if anyone ever catches you, and they'll also like test your piss once a week
for monster content.
Yeah, if they find anything less than their expected amount of monster content, you lose the contract, and they shoot you to the moon, and then fire a bullet from the earth into the back of your head to the moon.
Right into the moon's eye.
Yeah.
Are there other corpses up there when I arrive on the moon?
There's three other people who did not read the contract fully.
They're all wearing monster logos.
Yeah, they're wearing monster like motocross helmets, but it didn't stop the bullet, so they're still dead.
Yeah, they make you do an extreme stunt to the moon.
Yeah, they'll put you in like one of those BMX bikes that's on the back of a rocket, shoot you into the moon.
So it was a monster thing, and what was the other one?
The pissing on your feet to keep them clean.
I was. Are we done?
I guess if no one has any more questions.
I was really sold on the whole bird thing because I thought the monsters would kill me.
Well, the monsters are going to kill you.
Mm-hmm. But you said I can delude them.
Yeah,
delude
well, them. It's still poison you're putting into your body on a daily basis.
I mean, we all do that.
You guys don't. You guys aren't curious of how long it takes to kill you?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, let's say, okay, so if you dilute it to the max, one per one, like let's say you're getting an ounce of water per ounce of Monster Energy drink, you have, it's not, like you're not going to die immediately. I mean, you've got probably 16 or 17 months.
Months?
But yeah. if you drink nothing but the monster, you've got 7 to 8 days.
What if I use the tons of money that I'm getting from my monster contract? What if I get I pay for research to develop a new organ that whenever I drink Monster goes straight to this organ and it processes it very efficiently.
Well, okay, since we're living in this future, this timeline.
You won't get that in
16 there's no
months.
Such thing as a super organ, but you can use part of your $14 million a year to harvest the livers of third world children.
Oh, God.
And you can put as many of their livers in your body as you want.
So I'm immortal.
Having
three
to
or
pee
four livers.
On your feet,
mm-hmm.
will that, I mean, you're still going to live a normal life. You're like,
sure. I mean,
to some extent.
You can't,
you don't wear shorts.
Yeah, you can't wear pants. Mm-hmm. You've got bird legs and hips.
But like, what's the life expectancy? Is it of a bird or is it of a human?
Your bottom half has the life expectancy of an ostrich and your top half has a human.
How long do ostriches live for?
An ostrich is to live about 45 years.
Hey Siri.
So my legs will give out.
Yeah.
How long does an ostrich live?
Andy's going to check it out. Hold on.
Okay, give me a moment.
Give me a moment?
50 years.
Yeah, so 45, 50 years.
So I'll be living in a wheelchair for 50 years.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. After your ostrich half dies in 50 years, technology would have progressed enough that you can't have robot legs.
Yeah, robot bird legs.
But are they going to give me, robot bird legs?
Yeah, you'll have robot bird legs and bird hips.
But will it short circuit if you're peeing on your feet?
No, because they made it waterproof, and they were able to save your feet. So you've got human feet, robot bird legs, and the top of your body is a human body. So does that answer everybody's questions?
I think
Yeah, that tracks.
Okay. Andy, which one are you going to go with?
I'm going to pee on my feet. I don't want to die of monster.
Really?
And, quite honestly, I don't like monsters that much.
Even though the pee is highly acidic and it burns off all your toes?
That's fine.
It's a ballsy move. It's a ballsy move. Andy, or sorry, Adam.
Andy, did you change your mind about your answer?
Andy, ask Adam what he wants. I'm not talking to him.
I guess I'll go with the monster, considering the acid now.
Okay. So how many children's livers are you going to harvest?
I don't know. We'll see how bad I feel about it. Right. You don't know it till you try it.
Yeah, I mean, once you hit that, like, the 14th month, and you know you've only got three or four more to go, I bet you'll probably warm up to the stealing the
liver idea. I mean, it'll either eat me alive, like, just the fact that I'm doing this, or I'll just become hollow inside and I'll be able to live forever.
Oh, yeah. I did forget that it makes your teeth fizz like Alka-Seltzer.
Fizz?
Yeah. So, like, it dissolves your teeth, so you have no teeth after the first 7 days. Trum, what do you got?
I'll go with peeing on the feet.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why?
Because, well, that's the best idea, I guess. I can still live longer.
True.
And if ostrich legs can stand for 50 years, even though they pee on it, then
so you'll
be fine.
So you'll be, well, and here's the thing, too. Since it's so acidic, you got to get the legs replaced every 6 months because the piss is so acidic it eats through them.
Yeah.
So, and you have to pay for it yourself because Obamacare doesn't cover ostrich legs.
Damn it, Obama.
Thank you, Obama. I love you. Krista.
I'm going to do the peeing on the feet thing.
Peeing
too.
On the feet thing?
Because, you know, you could just live in a wheelchair, whatever.
That's the thing. There are no cripples in the future because they're thrown into a valley of thorns.
Oh, that's
so
right.
I would definitely go with
thorns.
I would go with the robot legs instead of the wheelchair.
Well, yeah, I'd get the legs and get them replaced. But
you get that wheelchair, they're going to strap a rocket to it and shoot you off into that valley of thorns.
Sorry, when you become infirm, we're going to send you to the place where the rats wanted to go in the Secret of NIMH.
Yeah, 45 years from now, eugenics comes back in a huge way that I don't think anyone expected. All right, good job, guys. So
I guess
now, I guess. Let's check in with Andy and see what he's got for us in this edition of Creeping on Craigslist.
I have looked upon the dark corners of the internet. I have seen satanic rituals, bees in jars, and adult infants. I pushed through this jungle and beheld bathtubs of noodles and desecrated train tracks. Still, I moved on. Not knowing what horrors I would uncover, the darkest heart of the Congo and the Amazon were paradise compared to this. I'm still here. It won't let me leave. But perhaps the tales I uncover will keep you from making the same mistake. This is Creeping on Craigslist.
Boom. Andy, what do you have for us?
I have needed generic father figure for backyard barbecue.
Still oh,
can.
Shit. I totally saw this ad this morning. I was going to read it, and I'm glad you found it.
Okay. To interested individuals, we'll be throwing a backyard barbecue on June 17th to celebrate beer and each other.
Interested so far.
And each other.
We range in age from 21 to 26, and while most of us know how to operate a grill, none of us is prepared to fill the role of barbecue dad, which is an important role in all societies.
Yeah, I mean, every time you have a barbecue, if you don't have a dad on that grill, you're like, what are we doing here?
What are we even doing?
I'm hungry. Where's the burgers? I don't know. Dad died.
Dad died. God. Where is dad? So dad died and someone didn't get the news, so they say, where is dad? And they have to be told dad's dead at the
I'm
barbecue.
I'm sorry you had to find out this way.
Had to be told right then and
there's one guy at the family. Where's dad? Oh, he's
Uncle
dead.
Ruby's at the grill.
Who's dead? What?
You were at the funeral.
Well, way to break to me easy.
That being said, we are in need of a generic father figure from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m., though you may stay the full duration of the party.
Duties oh, can I?
Yes, you may. Duties include grilling hamburgers and hot dogs whilst drinking beer.
Mm-hmm. You have to drink beer while you're doing it?
Yeah, dad activity. Dag-tivity.
Before dad died, he was a raging alcoholic.
It's what dad would have wanted.
Bringing your own grill, though this is subject to change. We will provide all of the meat. See, I think that they don't have a grill.
So they planned a barbecue without a barbecue?
Well, I mean, if you're bringing in a professional dad type, the dad should have, like, when you hire a clown, you don't, like, go out and buy balloons for balloon animals for him.
I'm bringing in a pro dad, guys. Don't worry.
I said, I'm calling
he's the
one
best
up
in the area.
Calling one up from the major leagues of the dad major leagues.
For one last job.
Refer to all attendees as big guy, chief, sport, champ, etc.
Yeah, I love that
drinking
shit.
Beer.
At the same time, like a ventriloquist act?
Yeah. Yeah, he's got a small dad on his hand. Hey, Tiny!
Sport.
Hey, Tiny Dad, can I get a burger? Sure thing, sonny.
Oh, he gave me a Tiny Dad burger. That's scamp.
Oh, it's a slider.
Oh, that's cute.
Talk about dad things, like lawnmowers, building your own deck, Jimmy Buffett, etc.
Jimmy Buffett.
I'm island boy now.
I'm a real parrot head.
Come on down to Jimmy Buffett's Island Cafe, where all we serve is pina coladas and bad music.
I would give the guy an extra $20 if he could somehow bring up the fact that he grabbed two margaritas and was chased away by a couple of pterosaurs.
Oh, them damn thunder lizards.
Or brontosaurs.
Funny anecdotes are highly encouraged. Whilst drinking beer.
That's what dads do. They hang out, they grill stuff, they drink a beer, and they say, hey, how's work or whatever? Just sort of surface level stuff.
Dad is great.
Hard at work or hardly working?
They have to do dad jokes. They have to do dad jokes. So I bet in 10 or 15 years, Andy, you could take them up on this offer.
Nice. Let's see here. Desired experience. A minimum of 18 years experience as a father.
Oh. I think all we need to do is put a little more white in your hair, Andy. and you could easily get this job.
Yeah, and I'll pretend that Adam's my son. Look, he's 18.
No, what you need is like a salt and pepper mustache. What you call it? Get one of those like Friar Tuck. No, Friar Tuck patches in the back where it's just skin.
It's happening, David. That's just happening.
Yeah, I mean, like kick it up a notch.
A minimum Bam. Of 10 years grilling experience.
Who doesn't have that?
So yeah. He has to bring a resume, too?
I guess.
We need a list of contacts for so we can call and ask about your grilling experience.
Give me your fatherly resume.
You call someone like, oh, I got Greg here. Is he your dad? And they're like, yeah. And he's like, thank you. Click.
Has he ever barbecued for you?
Yeah, all the time. I'd say he started about 10 years ago. Yeah,
when were you born? Was it 10 years ago?
For at least 10 years now, I guess he's been barbecuing.
Oh, okay, good, good.
An appreciation of nice cold beer on a hot summer day.
I repeat, you need to drink beer.
Get fucking drunk, Dad. We can't pay you in money,
but we can pay you in love and laughter,
memories.
But we can give you all the food and cold beer your heart desires.
They're really emphasizing the fact that he's going to get beer.
This guy needs to drink all of our beer, or Mom will find out.
It doesn't sound like a bad gig to like
no,
be a,
honestly.
To be a 40-year-old dude and hang out with some 20-year-olds and cook and eat. Yeah.
Yeah, to feel young again.
Yeah. Or, you know, maybe feel older if you can sneak
intentionally
in.
Older.
Yeah.
Grill for a few hours, then sit back and crack open a few cold ones with the boys.
Hey boys.
See, that actually sounds like pretty cool.
Yeah, you could have lifelong friends, and you're their dad.
I'm dead. You must be the boys.
Hey, boys.
This is a real ad. Do not hesitate to call if you are interested. Preference will be given to applicants named Bill, Randy, or Dave.
Oh, God.
What about
Dave?
I would also accept Floyd, or if your name is any two initials.
Ron.
JR. PJ. Anything like that.
BJ Novak.
BJ, that's a good dad name.
BJ and the Bandit.
BJ Honeycutt from MASH. Hawkeye, stuff like that. If your name is Hawkeye, you're hired.
Yeah, it's a plus if you have some war stories.
Yeah, like if you live through the Korean War, like no resume necessary.
We'll waive the grilling experience.
Is that all you got, Andy?
That's all I got.
I'm glad you told us instead of like chuckling downward at your phone. Oh, what a lighthearted ad.
I was thinking of Ron, my dad figure who's coming over to grill for us later.
Oh, Ron.
Fucking love you, Ron.
This has like the earmarks of an 80s sitcom written all over it.
Yeah, and we'll call it Professional Dad.
I like Dad for Hire more. It needs to be snappy.
We'll call it Come On Down to the Dad Store, Come On Down.
Dad's List.
That's so Dad's List. Dad's List. Stupid.
Dad wanted.
He's making a list, and he's grilling it twice.
Oh, no.
Mars needs dads.
That's over-grilling it. And he's grilling the list?
Yeah.
We got it. It's on fire.
I put the list on a steak.
Grills needs dads.
Grills needs dads.
Grills need
and it's spelled with
dad.
Z's.
Yeah. Weekend at Dad's.
It's in an urban environment.
Yeah, so I guess. That's not actually a bad idea. What if, now, this is obviously an idea for down the road. What if you guys and I offer our services as like professional dads for this sort of thing?
I'm more of a professional uncle.
Yeah, I'm a better uncle.
Yeah, me too. So I guess we could do like a professional. I guess we could do a professional uncle business, like take
them
fishing.
Yeah, we could open up a store called Uncles with a Z.
Uncles.
Uncles.
And then we'd have like a sweet half pipe in the back.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't like this. I don't like all this Z stuff. It's not the 90s anymore.
Bring it back.
Yeah, and the sign, like our logo says Uncles in like a totally bitchin' font and has like pink neon pink and green squigglies coming off of it.
I don't nice. Like that. What if it was Monkey's Uncles where, you know, it shows people, hey, we're lighthearted. We'll go out and have fun. Like we'll go out go-kart racing or whatever. Say, hey,
if you bring me a bottle of scotch, I'll start lamenting my joblessness and say racist things.
Yeah. There's Uncle Dave. He's drinking a 24-ounce Coors out of a paper bag again.
Yeah, they have to fill out a form beforehand so that you can find out what kind of uncle they want.
Yeah, you need, like, I feel like the outfit should be pretty cut and dry. It'll be, like, loafers, no socks, khaki shorts, Hawaiian shirt.
Do you need an
shirt.
Uncle that you're ashamed of, or do you need an uncle that you can look up to?
Oh, so, yeah, what if you need someone, like a shitty uncle that you can kick out of somewhere to, like, show somebody you're tough or something?
Oh, no, like, hey, I got this girl coming over, and I want to impress her with how caring I am, so I need you, a drunken, stumbling uncle to come in and start saying, like, the F word a lot.
That seems like that would dry up that puss real quick.
So well,
and then
like,
you chase her out, you're like, hey, not her, you chase him out, like, hey, hey, this is a nice place for this nice lady.
Get away
is
from
this
my uncle.
I need to get out of this date.
Get away from my uncle, you stupid bitch.
So it's like a brothel or bunny ranch for finding an uncle that you want for a party, only without sex?
Oh, it could be like Uncles Unlimited.
The last box to check is this an uncle for sex?
Is this a sex uncle?
Uncles for hire.
There's two different forms we hand out, regular uncles and sex uncles.
I don't know.
Come to think of it, that box should be first.
I'd like to keep it on the up and up, so no fucking uncles. Don't fuck any of our uncles.
Get your fucking uncles out of here.
Hey, is this a fucking uncle? You're under arrest.
Hi, this is my drunken stumbling uncle, Stephen King.
Oh, yeah, he thinks everyone's gay. Don't mind him.
Oh, nice girl you got there. You're queer.
He's just staring at that paperboy game again.
Yeah, he's like, God, there's got to be something else.
There's so many levels.
I haven't written a book in ages.
Chapter 1, the paperboy was hired. Then he went to bust a sweet trick on the BMX course.
But he was totally gay.
I think we just tied a sweet little knot on this show.
Put a bow on it.
A sweet little knot. What a weird thing to say.
I'll take it.
Does that mean we can stop the show now that we've tied this sweet little knot at the end?
Yep. We brought it all the way around.
I think we found the episode name. I'm going to write that down.
Oh, God.
Because that could also mean butthole.
Oh, David.
Oh, God.
You want to get into this uncle's sweet little knot?
No!
I didn't check that box.
I didn't check
yes
the sweet,
or
little,
no.
Sweet little knot box.
Coming down to monkeys' uncles. Sex uncles in the back.
We will not fuck monkeys. That's the asterisk under the sign. Oh, boy. So, guys, great times. Good food,
good
great
eats.
Times, Pizza Hut or something like that. Let's
hot
start.
Eats, cool treats. We treat you right.
Yeah, Dairy hot Queen. Eats, cool treats. Brazier, the supporter of Dairy Queen. Guys, it's now time we start wrapping up the show. So, you know how we like to do it? A few staff recommendations.
Nerd.
Dad recommend uncles.
What? Yeah. No.
Recommend uncles? No, that's got to be. Give me a few minutes. Krista, why don't you go first and while I work on this
problem? I went first last time.
Uncle.
You never go first, Krista. How about you go?
Trung, do you ever go first?
Continuum. We can
recommend
Continuum.
Uh-huh. Yeah. If she's going to recommend it, then I can't.
What's Continuum?
Trung and I are going to recommend Continuum. It's a show on Netflix that's got 4 seasons. It's about time travel and
it sounds like
stuff.
That video game slash show Quantum Break.
No, it has nothing to do with Quantum Break.
Here's my question. How many uncles are in it?
None as of today.
None!
As of season
absolutely
three,
none.
Episode
they time
one,
traveled
none.
Into the past and got rid of all the uncles.
They went 3 seasons without introducing a single uncle?
Yeah, but there's sons
impossible.
And dads of each other.
There's just daddies
traveling.
In there.
Daddies. Oh, true.
Daddies.
Never say daddies.
This place is lousy with daddies.
Hi, daddy.
Hey, what are all these daddies doing here?
Oh, hey, daddy.
Hey, daddy.
Oh, man. I did not
sex that uncle. I did not.
You just you just look into a different dimension where it's just a bunch of dads in Hawaiian shirts standing around grills. Dimension daddy. All right.
The daddy zone.
I'm going to throw out a tentative recommendation for Salem's Lot, because if you're like me and you're on the fence about Stephen King, there's enough there. All the Stephen King stuff throwing his flair into it, I'm not a fan of, but so far it's okay. It's paper thin and kind of flimsy, but check it out. Andy, what do you got?
I've got Tekken 7. It's great. It's Tekken. If you like Tekken, it's Tekken.
I can't believe they're only on Tekken 7.
Right? It feels like there's been a ton of them.
But they also had Tekken Tag Tournament 1 and 2, so that's...
Yeah.
Because really this is more like Tekken 9.
It is 7, but there's a few other Tekkens in there.
It's like the Grand Theft Auto chronology.
Just read between the lines. There's games in there.
Oh, yeah. There's always games in between those lines.
Those lines! Damn it!
Because I remember playing the first Tekken on the PlayStation 1, and being blown away by how amazing it was.
Well, that's because instead of just, like, squares punching each other, you had actually had things that looked like people.
Adam, what do you got?
We played Mysterium last night.
Mysterium.
It's a board game where everybody's working together to... It's like Clue, where there's, like, a murder that's happened, mm-hmm. and people are trying to figure it out, but everybody's trying to figure out the same murder. Okay. But one person plays a ghost that's giving people clues.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Except it's like abstract images that they give you to try to guess.
Yeah, like the ghost has a deck of cards that they draw from, and uh-huh. it's all these weird, like, abstract pictures. And based on the evidence or whatever that each person has, the ghost has to try and direct people towards specific, like, suspects and places using these abstract cards.
Is the ghost the murder victim?
Yes.
All right. What about this? Let me run this up your flagpole. It's a game. It's called Blue. You find out who blew their load in the study and ruined the high back chair.
You made it about a quarter way up that flagpole.
Well, just imagine, like, you're you know, 8 or 10 different investigators here for a dinner party. Someone sits in one of the suede high back chairs in the study. They sit in a puddle of semen, and now the hunt is on. And not,
I mean, it could have been any one of us, really.
Yeah, it could have been one of the women who brought in her own baggie.
Brought in a bag.
The perfect crime.
Or one of those turkey basters that's like a flavor injector.
Brainstorm it, Warren. Bring it back to us next week.
Listen, the pieces are there. There are people, there's semen, and they're trying to figure out how the two meet. So, I mean, the rest is all, like, no problem. It's a cakewalk.
David, that's just the birds and the bees. Do you need an uncle to teach you about this?
Where did this semen come from, they all say, and they stand around shrugging, and they're like, I don't know.
And where does it go?
Or maybe there's going to be, like, a scene, like, out of The Thing where they all have to jizz in cups and they stick wires in it and stuff. I don't know.
Well, it could just be smells bad in here.
Yeah, that'll be in the movie based on the game. And we'll get, what's his name isn't available anymore.
Kurt Russell.
Tim Curry from Clue, Cameron. The movie.
Ah, yes.
But we can get Martin Mull. I think he's still alive and wants to do work.
We can almost definitely get Christopher Lloyd.
Oh, yeah. So look out for Blue, because it's someone blew their load, and you have to find out who. Guys,
I sat in semen.
Oh, there's semen on my pants. Morty, who put this semen on my plate?
That's pretty good, you guys.
It can show up anywhere. Let's say the butler comes in, pulls off a silver tray, and there's just semen.
This isn't what I ordered.
Oh!
Morty!
Anyway, guys, if you want to get in contact with us, fistfulpodcast@gmail.com, Dave Fistful Podcast. If you want to get a copy of the anthology, it's online. You can find it. You know, the RJ stories, if you want to, you can buy one of those, or I can give it to you for free as usual, but thank God nobody wants one, so I'm not out a lot. unsuccessful. Let's think. Oh, I'm on Twitter. Should have some more paleontologist interviews coming up, so look out for those. I got a Tyrannosaur guy on deck.
Everybody needs a Tyrannosaur guy.
Yeah, so that'll be exciting. Oh, that's one thing I want to say. Thank you for all of the positive feedback for the first paleontology interview. So that means, you know, since you guys like it, I can do more.
Yeah.
Brought to you by viewers like you.
Yeah. Until next week, what is your mother's maiden name?
Daddy.
Oh, I'm Krista.
God, never do that again.
Trump has a surprising career as a Vietnamese fuckboy.
He is the premier ladyboy.
Oh, God.
Premier ladyboy.
Just barfed a little.
Just barfed a little. Hello, daddy.
Oh, my God.
So, Andy, we're waiting on you, I guess.
Oh, I didn't hear Chris's. I heard daddy and my brain shut down. I'm Andy. Daddy.
And I'm sick to my stomach.
Saying, remember, kids, once you age out of, like, let's say 3, it's time to drop the Y off the dead. See you next week!
So long, suckers!
Daddy.
Or they try to...
Fistful of Podcasts Radio.